Ah, beat you, I can't believe it.
You beat you. Come in here. Sure.
Well, I rushed to eat bingo.
All right, so let's get started since we're late. Ready?
All right. I'm happy to hear.
Okay, so we're holding on Iron Bays on the Bays, about 10 lines from the top line by the two dots. Okay, so we were in the middle of a discussion as follows. We started discussing the idea that Rebbe holds that harvesting the Omer is not Bais HaShabbos.
The what?
That harvesting the Omer, cutting the barley from the ground, is not something that can be done on Shabbos.
Yeah, why would you think it would be done
because
on Shabbos?
Because earlier, or this whole parak we've been talking about, that it could be. And in fact, we have Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon, who says it Dafka has to be cut the night before the Omer is brought. Therefore, there's no choice. If that night is Shabbos, then there's no choice. It has to be done on Shabbos.
But that's the mitzvah says, though.
That's part of the mitzvah.
And this Shabbos, who says,
that's not neither here nor there. The fact is that the Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon learns that since he learns, like Rabbi Shmuel, we said on Amar Aleph, that since he learns, like Rabbi Shmuel, that harvesting it is part of the mitzvah, in other words, it must be harvested, l'shem, for the sake of the Omer, and it must be done the night before. And he also holds, like Rabbi Akiva, who says, that the only way a prerequisite for a mitzvah can be done on Shabbos is if it has to be done on Shabbos itself and can't be done any earlier, then therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon is left with that therefore, that's the only reason why you could, if you're saying that you can do it on Shabbos, it must be based on those two considerations. Whereas we said Rebbe disagrees with that concept. He says that it's true. There are certain cases where we do say such a thing. For example, when a korban is brought on Shabbos, we say afterwards the fat can be burned on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, even though in principle it could be left for overnight. But in this case, Rebbe says that harvesting the Omer is not Dos HaShabbos. So therefore, on the basis of, we learned before, we had the whole discussion yesterday, he holds it doesn't Dafka have to be done the night before. He holds, among other things, that if it's done the next day, it's also kosher. Similarly, he would also hold that if it was done a few days before, it's also kosher. So he would say then that therefore, if it can't be done on Friday night, if Tef Zayin Nissan is on Shabbos, it's going to have to be done earlier. So we were in the middle of a discussion about that, and even though we have two dots over here, the two dots is actually a mistake because it's not, we are quoting a line from the Mishnah, but not in order to start a new discussion on it, but rather to continue the previous discussion. We said on the face of it, so we had several Mishnayos in our parak, which say that the Omer is harvested even if it's on Shabbos. So we said we have no choice but to say that all those various Mishnayos are not according to Rebbe. So now let's continue. Niksavayon kosher. We said in our Mishnah that if the Omer is harvested during the day of Tzayin Nissan, that's also kosher, the Docha is a Shabbos. But on the other hand, it overrides Shabbos. So we have to figure out which opinion would that be. Man Shamat Leidu'oman Niksavayon kosher. Which of the two Tanoim is it that says that if it's harvested by day is kosher? That is Rebbe, because Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon would disagree and say it must be done the night before, and if it's done by day, it's possible. That's why we had on Amar Aleph, we have the case where it became Tomei, and Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon is saying you have no choice between Machir of it anyway, because there's no substitute.
So no other opinion who holds like Rebbe?
Yeah, that's it. We only know of the two Tanoim, Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon, who have an opinion on this subject.
Okay.
So that, unless we find a third, then we would have to assume that our Mishnah, the part that says Niksavayon kosher is according to Rebbe, but the Katani did it at the Shabbos. But then the Mishnah continues that it overrides Shabbos. So my lav sira. So that's the thing. On the face of it, when we mean that it's Dorich HaShabbos, we mean the harvesting of it is Dorich HaShabbos. In that case, Rebbe would have to hold that it is Dorich HaShabbos, not like we were just saying. The answer is low. We just finished saying that apparently Rebbe holds that Sfiras HaOmer is not Dorich HaShabbos,
right.
But on the face of it, our Mishnah seems to imply otherwise, because who would say Niksavayon kosher is Rebbe? But then if he's saying also that the Dorich is a Shabbos, then that would also be Rebbe, then you have a contradiction. The answer is low, no, because that's not what the Mishnah means. It means lack rubber. It means as far as offering the Omer, you can do that on Shabbos. Even Rebbe is going to agree with that.
Question is,
so are you still telling me that Rebbe holds you can't do the harvesting, you can't do the cutting of it on Friday night? But we learn a brisa, Rebbe, which is the same Rebbe that we're talking about, says like this. When the pasuk says Vayidaber Moshe Moyad Hashem, the pasuk says that Moshe told about the Moyadim of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. So Matam Loimar. So what's the we already have that it said before it's listed before all the Moyadim, and it says that Moshe Hashem told Moshe to say it, and of course he told it over. So why does it need to repeat that he said Moyad Hashem of Bnei Yisrael? It's like this. Lafi Shalolam Man. That's in Parshas Emor. So l'fi shalai lamadnu elo l'tomid of Pesach, because like this, without that word esmoyad Hashem, you would only know regarding the korban tomid and the korban Pesach that they're brought on Shabbos and b'tuma shenema behen moyadai, where by both of them it says that it has to be brought b'moyadai, and from that we learn b'moyadai v'atzil b'Shabbos b'moyadai v'atzil b'tuma. From that we learn that it means that the Tomid and the Korban Pesach are brought even on Shabbos, but we would only know those so far, right? We would only know the Tomid and we would only know the Pesach, that they brought the Shabbos.
How do
we know the other one? How do we know it applies to other Korbanos Sibur as well? Tamad Loma, Eila Tapsu Lashem B'mayadeichen. Therefore, the Pesach also says, in Parashas Pinchas, one second, it says, these Korbanos you shall bring to Hashem on your moyadim. This is Parashas Pinchas. The point is, again, on your moyadim means that you bring them even if it's on Shabbos. Next, minayim rabbis oimer v'akorajim. How do we know that it also then includes the oimer and the korbanos that are brought with it? And shtealechem v'akorajim. And how do we know it also includes the shtealechem and what's offered with them, which are not mentioned in Parashas Pinchas at all? So, like this, you would say, how do we know that they're going for Shabbos and Tumah? Right. Right, that is part of the moyadim, right. So, right, so the Tomid, it says B'moyadoi also actually, it's actually also in Parashas Pinchas. B'moyadoi by Pesach, fine, is in a different place, but whatever, it says explicitly by Pesach. The other ones, Eila Tassu, Hashem, B'moyadeichem, would refer to all of the Mustafim that are in Parashas Pinchas. How do we know it also includes the Korbanos that are mentioned only in Parashas Emor, the Omer and the She'alachem and what comes with them? Tamad Loima, therefore the Pesach finishes off by Dabar Moshe as Moyadei Hashem, meaning Hakos of Kovam Moed Lekulon. The Torah establishes that everything that's in that chapter in Parshas Emor is considered a Moed, and therefore the same rules apply to all of them. So Tosfos actually discusses whether it's a Zera Shava or what exactly, not so much a Hekish. No, it would be more either that the word B'moyadai itself implies that you have to bring it in its proper time, meaning even if it's on Shabbos, or that we would learn a Zera Shava. Tosfos talks about that we learn that Pesach is Dosha Tumah because the Sibur is not Nidcha, and then for the Tomid we learn because Olaf Shabbos for Shabbat, and then we learn them all with each other from the Zera Shava because of B'moyadai. But whatever, the point is that Rebbe is, so now we have to figure out, now that we have this Braisa, so now Lamai, we have to ask, as far as what is this Braisa that we just quoted in the name of Rebbe, that saying that we have to learn that the Omer and the Shtei Lechem are done even on Shabbos, Lamai, as far as what part of the Omer and what part of the Shtei Lechem are we talking about? Elam Lachrova, are we talking about offering them? Can't be. Shtei Lechem b'nei Akrova. The Shtei Lechem are not actually offered. They're not even placed on the Mizbeach. They're chometz. They don't go anywhere near the Mizbeach. You have the Kvosim that come with them, and the other, the Shtei Lechem are divided among the Kohenim. You have we learned before, they're waved together with the Kvosim. You have the Kvosim, which are the Shalmei Sivir, and you have a number of other Oilers that are, and Achakas, that are brought together with them. They're the Shtei Lechem themselves, after they're waved, there's two times, once while the Kvosim are alive, and another one after they're shechted, is they divide them among the Kohenim. So if we're saying Omer v'akorev imoy and Shtei Alechem v'akorev imoy, it can't mean offering the Shtei Alechem, because the Shtei Alechem themselves are not offered. Obviously, there's no chiddush that you can bring the Shtei Alechem on Shabbat. Elof shita l'tchina v'akorev. Obviously, what the pasuk must be implying is tchina, the grinding of the wheat for the Shtei Alechem, v'akorev, and the sifting of it, can be done on Shabbat. The pasuk implies v'akorev sifting. I guess the shortage is rock out like dancing, because like you shake the sieve and sort of dances around in there. I don't know, whatever. And then what would be the parallel thing as far as the Omer? Now the Omer, granted, has to be sifted, but it doesn't have to be. The parallel thing involving the Omer is that you have just like with the Shtei Alechem, presumably you could have done it the day before, and yet if you didn't, then it's Doicha Shabbos. The Braita seems to be implying the same thing with the Omer. Even if Rebbe holds that it could have been done before Shabbos, but he doesn't hold it, Dafka has to be done the night before. Apparently his limud over here is saying that you can do the harvesting and all the later stages of the Omer on Shabbos. Because we said that the Omer and what comes with it, and the Shtei Alechem and what comes with it, are Doicha Shabbos. Now again, it can't, as far as the Shtei Alechem at least, it can't mean offering them. It has to mean the prior stages of it. So also by the Omo, therefore, for parallelism, it must mean also the prior stages, including the Ksira,
right.
And therefore the Kadoshi as a Shabbos, and therefore it's a Shabbos. So therefore, so there you seem to have a proof that Rebbe says that even though Ksirah to Omer does not have to be done the night before, as we were discussing before, nevertheless, it can be done on Friday night.
But is that when there's no other way?
No. What Rebbe is saying is that even though you could have harvested it a day or two or whatever before, similar, in other words, to bring a knife for a milah that we were saying yesterday, that Rabbi Akiva's rule tells us that you can't bring a knife on Shabbos for a bris if you didn't bring it before Shabbos, because you could have brought it before. But here we see that Rebbe seems to be saying that on the one hand, you don't have to do it the night before. That was what we were talking about before. On the other hand, if you want to do it the night before, then it is Dos HaShabbos. So the answer is loy, no, because that's not what the Braisa means. It means Omer la'krav o'sheh lechem la'afia. It means, as far as the Omer, it means taka offering it. That Rebbe is saying you should know the offering of the Omer is Dos HaShabbos.
What about the cutting?
In other words, Rebbe would say that the cutting and all the later malachas after that are not Dos HaShabbos. The Braisa didn't exactly. U'shtayalechem, what would be as far as the shtayalechem? You're right, shtayalechem aren't offered on the Mizbeach. But we're talking about lafia. We're talking about that Rebbe would say that the baking of them can be done on Shabbos. And the reason is, because Rebbe holds, when do the Shteya Lechem get their Kedushas Haguf, which is a topic that we've discussed before and we're going to discuss again later on in the Masechta, when do the Shteya Lechem become Kaddish? Rebbe holds the oven that they're baked in is Mekaddish then. He holds the oven is a Kli Shari, and therefore when they're baked in there, that's when they get their Kedushas Haguf. We had a few opinions. We had opinion whether it's when the kvasim are shechted or when the blood is sprinkled or when they're waved or whatever. Yeah. The Rebbe holds Tanur Makadosh. The E ofi lo me'etno. Therefore, if you were to bake the shtei lechem the day before, if still a lo belina, then it would become possible by lina, like anything that becomes kodesh and a kli shari. So therefore, Rebbe would have to hold that. So this braisa that mentions the shtei lechem doesn't mean that Rebbe would say that you could be grinding and sifting and whatever the wheat for it on Shabbos. That definitely not, because you could have done it before Yom Tov. But once you get to the baking, which is done at a kli shareis, and as usual, something that's in a kli shareis becomes possible by lina, you have no choice. You have to do it on Shabbos. So therefore, Rebbe will say that can be done on Shabbos. Well, the same thing we could say as far as the omer. Anything that comes before the offering it could have been done the day before, because as far as the harvesting and the grinding and the sifting and the this and the that, whatever, could have all been done before Shabbos. Therefore, Rebbe would say it's not Dos HaShabbos. What is Dos HaShabbos? Only the actual offering of the Kohen with it on the Mizbeach.
What happened if it falls on the first day of Pesach? Shabbos falls on the first day of Shavuos.
There's only one day of Shavuos in Eretz Yisrael, but that's according to Rebbe, what we're saying is you would have to harvest the wheat, and you'd have to grind it, and you'd have to bake it, and whatever, not bake it. Except everything except for the baking would have to be done beforehand. Would have to be done on Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So the question is, the Sover Rebbe Tanur Makadosh. You're telling me that Rebbe holds the oven is what makes the Shtei Lechem Kodesh. V'hatanya, but we learned in a Braisa. We learned this earlier in the Masechta. Kivsei Aseret Ein Makadoshin Es Alechem Ela B'Shtika. The two kvasim, which are the Shalmei Sivir of Shavuos, are only Makadosh the bread only when they're shechted. Kesad, what does that mean? Shechtem L'Shmon. If you shecht them L'Shmon, having in mind that they are the Shalmei Sivir, V'Zorach Zaman L'Shmon, and then you did the Zrika also L'Shmon, Kodesh Alechem, then good, the Lechem becomes Kodesh. But Shechtem Shaloi L'Shmon, V'Zorach Zaman Shaloi L'Shmon, but if you shechted them or sprinkled the blood, Shaloi L'Shmon, Loi Kodesh Alechem, if you did both Shaloi L'Shmon, the Shechita and the Zrika, then the bread is not Kodesh. And Kodesh Shachtan L'Shmon, the Zarach Dom and Shaloi L'Shmon, what if you did the Shechita L'Shmon, but then later on, when it came to the Zrika, you did it Shaloi L'Shmon, Halechem Kodesh Ve'enei Kodesh Divir Den. Then the bread has a certain level of Kedusha, but not completely, which we discussed there. We discussed about a month ago what exactly that means. Kodesh Ve'enei Kodesh, it means that we had a whole discussion. Does it mean that it's not completely Kodesh? Does it mean that it's completely Kodesh, but you can't be Koder? We had an argument of Abaya and Rava on that point. Anyway, the point is, all of that is all of that is Divrei Rebbe. All of that is a friend of Rebbe. On the other hand, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon Omer, La'olam einei Kodesh ad sheyishchet l'shmon v'yizrek dam l'shmon. And Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon says the bread only becomes Kodesh if you do the shchita and the zrika l'shmon. The point is, anyway, that we see that Rebbe holds that the shchita alone is enough to give it a certain degree of kedusha, and once you have the zrika, then it has complete kedusha. So that's long after it was baked, because it was baked obviously before you shechted the shnei kvasim. So what are we talking about that Rebbe says that the oven is mekadesh? But Rav Nachman says, no, what the Braisa means is, fukfu v'loi fukfu ka'ama. What the Braisa means is that Rebbe is talking about, what does the Shechita and what does the Zrika accomplish? Hukfu, it makes it that now they have a permanent association in the sense. We learned before, and we learned before on Mem Zayin, we learned about the concept, if you have that at there comes a certain point when these chalas are associated with these kvasim, and you can't swap out for new ones. Up until there's a certain point where up until No. So 1 second. What we mean is, in other words, like this. Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying, as far as Kedusha HaGuf, Rebbe would say it has it earlier, once it's baked, because the oven is a klishar. However, Rebbe would say, after that point though, suppose that the kvasim became possible, no problem, swap them out for other kvasim. Suppose the chalas became possible, no problem, swap out for other chalas and keep the same kvasim. Once you reach the point of shchita and or zrika, that's when you have a hukfu that now they're permanently associated, and now there's no swapping one out without swapping the other one out. Then we have to start all over again, the new kvasim and new lacha. We had a whole discussion about that in Perek HaTchelet and Mem Vav Mem Zayin. So that's Rashi's explanation of hukfu. Tosfos over there. And Shitim Kobetis over here explain differently that hukfu means that they become that only after the shchita and the zrika will they become possible if they're taken out of the azara. The oven will be mekadesh them with kedusha zaguf according to Rebbe, but not to the extent where they'll become possible if they were taken out of the azara. For that, you need the shchita and or the zrika of the kvasim according to Rebbe and according to Rabbi Elazar Shimon. That's Tosfos and Shitim Kobetis. Rashi disagrees with that and says if Rebbe says that Kedusha once they're in the oven, then that means already they also have Kedusha as far as Yosef. The only thing that the Shechita and or the Zrika accomplish is as far as associating the Kvasim together with the Lachem. So you can't swap them out.
Why would this
say? Because Tosfos has a whole discussion over there that you have different opinions over there of at what point does the bread have Kedusha that group. And you never had over there this opinion of Rebbe that the Tanur is Makabish. So like why all of a sudden are we bringing it in as a third opinion now? We could. He's a Tanna. He's entitled to disagree. But we never grew up that concept before, so therefore Tosfos says that's not what the Gemara means. Okay. Anyway, the bottom line is that we're still left with that Rebbe will hold. So like this. Rebbe will hold that when it comes to the Shtelech and Tanur Makadish, the oven is what Makadish them. Therefore, if Shavuot comes out on Shabbos, there's no choice. They have to be based on Shabbos. But whatever could have been done before has to have been done before, and if not, then it's not Dereh HaShabbos. And then also Rebbe would also say similarly as far as the Omer, the actual offering of the Omer itself is Dereh HaShabbos, but the harvesting and all the other malachas that are involved with it, which could have been done before, are not Dereh HaShabbos because they could have been done before.
Because they
can be offered on Shabbos because of a Moedah that you can't do any of the previous things because they could have been done before, which gets us back to Rabbi Akiva's rule. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say that no, the Kseira must be done the night before. It can't be done any other time. Therefore, if it comes out Friday night, okay, you have to do it Friday night. You have no choice. It's Dereh HaShabbos because that also is Rabbi Akiva's rule. Anything that has to be done on Shabbos can be done on Shabbos.
Anything
that can't be done before Shabbos that has to be done on Shabbos, right? Okay. Hadron Alach Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. But now we're getting back more to regular menorah. So the halacha is, so in general, usually when you have a machlokas Rebbe and another Tana, usually the halacha is like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Here actually, the Rambam paskins like Rebbe on the one hand, that b'dieved, if it was harvested during the day or whatever, it's kosher. He also though paskins that it's Dereh HaShabbos, which on the face of it doesn't seem to fit with our Gemara over here. So that's, I mentioned yesterday briefly, that a lot of the Achronim spill a lot of ink explaining different ways how the Rambam reaches that conclusion. One possibility is that Rambam is following a Yerushalmi. Another possibility is that Rambam might say, okay, if it's harvested by day, you can bring it, you're yoked to the mitzvah of Omer, but you're not yoked to the mitzvah of Kseira. The mitzvah of Kseira is to do it the night before, therefore that would be Dereh HaShabbos. And you have a wide variety of other answers as well to reconcile with what the Rambam says.
When you have a machlekes and Rabbi is involved, the halacha is like him.
Usually the halacha is like Rabbi. Mind you, over here Tosfos learns that the halacha, we said on Amud Aleph, that Tosfos learns the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon over here, and therefore says, as far as Spirit of Talmud, that you can't count it by day. Just like Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon says that it can't be harvested.
That's because?
Because we have a Stam Mishnah in Masechta Megillah like him that says that anything that any mitzvah that can be done by night is kosher only by night.
Okay, but that's okay.
But that's why. Spirit of Omer can be done all night. The implication is it can't be done by day. Okay. Fine. So now we're going to get back to regular Menachos after the past Perek we've been dealing with the Mincha Omer. So now we're going to get back to regular Menachos brought by individuals. Here, for the next three prachim from here until Daf Parak Dalet, we have two versions of Rashi. We have what's printed on top over here as the original Rashi, which was printed in the early editions of the Gemara, beginning in the 1500s. But then you have on the bottom you have Rashi Ksav Yad, namely that the Shitra Mekubetzes, right? The Shitra Mekubetzes wrote that what's printed in the Gemara is not really from Rashi, and he had various proofs for that. So therefore, he copied out from a manuscript the real Pirush Rashi on these Prakim. And so therefore, here we have, so who the one on top is from, some people say it's from Rabbeinu Eliyakim, some people say it's from other, whatever it is, it's definitely from some Rishon, but not necessarily from Rashi. But the one on bottom is more definitively from Rashi.
Okay.
We have such a thing in Zvachim for a while, we have such a thing, we have in a few places in Chas. Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah says, the Elu Menachos Nikmasas, the following Menachos, you take a koinitz from them, the Shirei Makoyanim, and the rest of the Mincha is eaten by the koinim. As follows, Mincha Tassola, the Mincha brought from just flour and oil, that is, that's not baked or fried or whatever, which Rashi and Rashi Ksaviyad both say over here, that you say you make it into a dough, because you learned back on Dachman Dalet that you can mix water into it, and then to make it easier to take the knitter. So you some mincha tasolos, v'hamachlas, it's baked in a shallow pan, v'hamacheshes, in a deep pan, v'hachalos, with brought as baked thick chalos, v'hortikin, with brought as baked thin wafers, minchas ovikachosim, a mincha brought by goyim, or minchas noshim, or mincha brought by women, or minchas ta'omer, the mincha ta'omer that we've just been discussing, or minchas choite, the mincha brought by a choite, for Tumas Mikdash Vakodshav and Bitters for Simon or whatever the Korban of the Yerib, or Minchas Knois and the Mincha of Asota, all of those were saying that a Kohimet was taken from them and the Kohenim eat the rest.
So one second, which ones that don't belong to this list?
Minchas Nesochin isn't in this list, a Mincha that's worked by Kohenim isn't in this list.
Private.
A private mincha brought by Kohen.
All minchas tibur, apparently, no?
No, minchas choyte, no. The only one over here that's a minchas tibur is a minchas oim.
Okay.
Rav Shimon oim, a minchas choyte shal Kohenim nekneses. Rav Shimon says, it's true that the minchas choyte brought by a Kohenim has to be completely burnt on the Mizeach, because in general, any mincha brought by a Kohen is burnt. However, he says, you still take a koimet from the minchas choyte, the koimet kod of la'asmi, the shirayim kreiv la'asman, then what you do is you burn the koimet separately and the shirayim separately. So not like the Tanakama, in other words, would say, you only take a koimet when you're going to be eating the shirayim. No shirayim, no koimet, you just burn the whole thing together on the mizbeach. Reb Shimon says that when it comes to a minchas choyte that's brought by a koin, then you have an exception to that, then you take the koimet from it and offer that koimet on the mizbeach, and then offer the rest of the shirayim as well. For reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Omer Rapapa, which is this line of Rapapa we had before, we had back in the fifth parak a few times, Kol Hecha Bitznan, wherever in these Mishnayos we have a list of menachos, Esther Tznan, we learn that there are 10. Which Rashi before brought two explanations. The first time we had this, Rashi brought two explanations what that means. Here, and here also, Rashi Ksaviyad brings one of them, that it means we have a list of 10 menachos, meaning no more and no less. They're exactly 10, as opposed to Reb Shimon, again, who would say that there's an 11th one. The other way of learning it, Rashi said over there, is that it means all the menachos listed in our Mishnah are all offered as 10 challahs, as 10 individual pieces. A minchas solas, for example, is baked into, he originally brings it as flour and it's mixed into a dough, but then it's made into 10 challahs before. The other explanation of Esther is that you have 10 types of mincha listed in these mishnayos. Solas, machvas, macheshes, challahs, rikikin, etc. The point is,
the type of mincha,
the number of pieces, right. So the question is, Michael Mashmalon, okay, what is the Chiddush of what Rav Papa is saying? The answer is, Lav Tukim Mirab Shimon, to tell us that these Mishnayos do not go like Rav Shimon, Yom Mechta Chalos or Mechta Rekikin Yavi, where we had at the end of the fifth parak that Rav Shimon had said that if you bring a baked mincha, you're able to bring, you don't have to bring all 10 chalas or 10 rekikin, you can bring a mix, some chalas and some rekikin, which would be effectively an 11th type of mincha. Kamash Malan, Kamash Malan Deloitte, so therefore Rav Papa wants to inform us that the Mishnayos of here are not going like Rav Shimon in that. That you only have 10, meaning they're the 9th and 10th are chalas and rekikin, only all chalas or all rekikin, and not a mix of some of the, and of some of one and some of the other. Or not the 9th and 10th, whatever, the 4th and 5th. Yeah, we had this before on Daphne and Pass. We had it a couple of times in the fifth paragraph. Okay. Then we said a shirei on the kainim. We said the leftover is of the mincha after the kainim is taken from all these 10 types of mincha. We said that the shirayim go to the kainim is them. The manolam, the gemara, where do we know that from? Now you have, that here in our printed gemaras, it only says manolam once. But Hagoy Sabach adds a second Manolon. That the Gemara, and Rashi also adds that here, sir, that the Gemara is asking that. What do you mean Manolon? Like a rhetorical question. You're asking, where do you know it from? What do you mean Manolon? What kind of question is that? The Chtiva Ktiva, some of the Menachos explicitly says that the Kohenim eat the remainder.
Where do we
and
know that? Is it
Nesachim? No. The question is, where do we know that the Shirayim are eaten by the Kohenim? No, we haven't really talked about the Shirayim. So the Gemara, that's the thing. The Gemara is wondering, why are you even asking the question? You're expected to know the Pesukim. The Chachamim who are asking the question, the Gemara, are expected to know the Pesukim. So the question, what do you mean, Menolon? What kind of a question is that? Dichtiva Ktiva, those Menachos where it says explicitly that the Kohenim eat the Shirayim, then good, it says that. And as far as the individual type, where you have some types of mincha where it doesn't explicitly say that the kohenim get the shirayim, but we have a general statement that says this is the rule of the mincha, the bnei Aaron should offer the kohenim, and it continues, and the remainder of it, Aaron and his son should eat. So it's clear that all menachos from which a kohenim is brought, the shirayim are eaten by the kohenim. What's the question? Where do we know it from? Now, so the Gemara answers like this. The Machshon says, let me clarify my question. Obviously, I have no question. I have no question if we're talking about a mincha that's made out of wheat. Yes, that's possible. Those terutz of mincha is talking about most kinds of menachos are made out of wheat flour. For those kinds, you can say that the pasuk is telling us that the shirayim are eaten by the kohen. Bachitin loikam boilon. I have no question about that. Especially because also, the Rabbeinu Gershom also points out, the verse is, that pasuk that we just quoted, those two psukim, the Zer's Tardas HaMincha, Akra Vos HaBnei Aaron, actually three psukim, whatever, three psukim back to back that summarize how menachos are brought. It mentions over there that the Kohen should take the Kohen, Misoilus HaMincha Umishamna, from the Soilus of the Mincha. Now, Soilus is the best grade of wheat flour. We learned before in the previous Tedek that the equivalent grade of barley flour, which is used for the Omer, is called Geret. And in the case of the mincha of the soita, it's not even fine flour, it's plain flour called kemach.
It's barley.
Well, it's plain barley flour, in other words, as opposed to fine flour.
Thick?
Well, not the question whether it's thick or thin. Well, yeah, kemach is the more powdery stuff. Soilus is like more like the semolina grade stuff. It's better quality. It's granules rather than powder. It probably has more of the germ of the
why do you consider it better quality if it's thicker and more granular?
Because that's how it is. Because then it's like this, the powdery stuff is like, okay, it's just powder. It's just like airy stuff or whatever. The good stuff is okay. I don't know, maybe. But also, I guess also the idea is that the soilus, the semolina or geret or whatever, has more germ of the kernel in it rather than the fluffy stuff. I don't know, whatever, anyway. Yeah. Okay. So if it comes from wheat, then there's obviously no question. Yes, I understand those sukkim are talking about menachos made out of wheat. She come with boil on boss the oven. My question, says the Machshon, is for mincha that comes from barley, how we know that the shirayim are going to be given to the kohen.
What should it be different?
Well, so the question is, actually, the Meshech Chochma says an interesting verse on it. The fact of the matter is, the pasuk doesn't explicitly say, in the case of either of the menachos of barley, you have only two menachos of barley. You have the omer by the sivir, and you have the soka by a yachid. Neither one of them does the Torah actually explicitly say in so many words that the kohen eat the shirayim, which is how the Gemara is going to have to learn it out of it here. But the Meshech Chochma says an interesting verse on it. Given that You know, Tosfos actually sort of hints at this idea, but the Meshech Chochma spells it out more explicitly. Given that barley is Michael is normally Michael Behema, then the Torah didn't want to, Hashem did not want to write in the Torah, like so to speak, to give honor to the Kohenim. Hashem doesn't mind writing. Hashem doesn't mind like foregoing his own honor and saying that some of this will go on the Mizbeach. But to forego the honor of the Kohenim and saying that they should be eating Sodim, that Hashem didn't want to do that explicitly, and therefore he left it as something that we have to dash in.
It still has
Zerk Torah Samincha. Okay, but Zerk Torah Samincha, again, it's talking about Behedu Mimenu Bekumta Misola Samincha. So it refers to Menachos that come from Sola. But barley, the final grade of flour from barley that's used for the Omer is called Geret.
Not Sola.
It's not called Sola. And the plain grade that's used for the Mincha of the Sota is called Kemach.
Fine, but is there a difference? Although there's a difference in name, does that mean a difference in quality?
Maybe, I don't know, but that's not the point. The point is a difference in name. So the question is, when I ask back, okay, but so what? So what? Fine, but a mincha that comes from barley, midin nikmeh, that's given that you have a komet taken from it, and by both the mincha of the omer and the mincha of the soja, it says that a komet is taken from it. It uses the word al korasa, which means the komet, therefore automatically shiri al kohenim. So we know automatically if a komet is taken and boom, on the mizbeach. Not because of those koras a mincha, but because the general rule is whenever a komet is taken, then the rest of it is eaten by the kohenim. So what are you asking? Okay, but the answer is, the machshin continues, let me clarify my question. I'll live with the Rabbanon like I'm a bayil, I'm fine. But my question is not according to the Rabbanon of our Mishnah. You're right, they say that always, whenever a komet is taken, automatically the shirayim go to the kohen, and whenever a komet is not taken, then the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. According to them, there are no exceptions. Therefore, fine. By these two, it says that a komet is taken, automatically that means the shirayim are eaten by the kohenim. You come a bayil on a little bit of Shimon. My question, says the machshin, is according to the Shimon. The Omar, where he said in our Mishnah, Ika mincha de mikmas of loy mesachwa, that you can have, there is a certain type of mincha where a komet is taken, but the shirayim are not eaten. This nan, namely, we learned in our Mishnah. The Shimon Omer, mincha schoite shokoinim, a mincha schoite that's brought by a kohen, mikmeses, the komet is taken from it, but a komet korib ba'asmo, the komet is offered on its own, by shirayim craven ba'asmo, and the shirayim are offered by themselves. So according to him, not necessarily the fact that a kohenus is taken means that the rest of the shirayim are eaten. So according to him, maybe it's not the case, that's not only the case with a minchas chota shokoinim. According to him, maybe that's also the case with a minchas chota brought by anybody, or the minchas omer that's brought by the sibur.
How do
we know? Just because a kohenus is taken, according to him, doesn't necessarily mean the shirayim are eaten. But now we minolam. So now we can ask the question, where do we know, even according to the Shimon, that the shirayim of those are going to be eaten? And the answer is Omar Chisya, like this. The Omar Kra, because you have the pasuk continues over there in Parashat Tzav after those sukkim that summarize the dinim of the mincha. Or actually, it's not right afterwards. Later on in Parashat Tzav, the Chachamim would say definitely. Once the claimant is taken, automatically shirayim. Yeah. The question is a point of Shimon. The Omar Chisya, the Omar Kra, because you have a pasuk like this later on in Parashat Tzav. V'chol mincha b'lula b'shem and b'chareva. Any mincha that's mixed with oil or that's dry without oil. L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyes, divided up among all the sons of Aaron. So, he says, in eina inim l'blula shokhitin, now since you don't need that passage to teach us about a mincha mixed with oil made out of wheat flour, because for that you already have the earlier passage in Parshas Tzav that says, v'aniseres m'yona yoichu Aaron uvana, t'nei inim l'blula shokhitin. Well then obviously this passage must be referring to a mincha of barley that's mixed with oil, namely the omer. And similarly, v'im eina inim l'chareva shokhitin, similarly, the pasuk doesn't have to be telling us about a dry mincha made out of wheat flour, because those, again, we know from behind the seres mimena, in the chareva shalter, and therefore it has to be referring to a dry mincha made out of flour, made out of barley, which is the minchas knois, the minchas sofa, which has no oil in it. So therefore, so according to the Shimon, that is where we learn that in those two cases, the shirayim are eaten by the kohen.
From the word,
so the question is, you're telling me that this pasuk b'chol mincha b'lulav Hashem and b'chareva is coming to teach us this concept. We need that pasuk to teach us a whole different din. And we're going to have a long bright that's going to describe the din in detail. And then later on, a little bit past the middle of the next Omer, we're going to get to the answer. But first, we're going to quote the entire bright. Minayin shen chok and minachas k'neged zvokin. How do we know that the Kohenim are not allowed to trade off a mincha for a korban? For example, you might have, let's say, one Kohen might say to another one, instead of that, okay, a Korban was brought, let's say a Shlomim, and we're entitled to the cause of a Shlomim of it, and a Mincha was just brought, and we're entitled to the Shiraim, how about let's trade off, you take the cause of a Shlomim of this Korban, let's say, and I'll take this Mincha.
Oh,
how do we know you can't? Therefore, the pasuk says, any mincha that's baked in an oven, it has to go to all the sons of Aaron, one person, just like his brother, just like his fellow Kohen. So in other words, every mincha has to be divided up among the Kohen. Continues the Braisa, fine, you could argue on that basis, maybe it only means that they can't trade a mincha for a zebach, for a korban, shall I come with tachtein bedalus? Because after all, a mincha doesn't substitute for a zebach, for a korban, when a person is poor. You have sometimes when a person is poor, you have certain karbanas where the Torah allows them to substitute birds instead. For example, a woman who gave birth, where if she's rich, she's supposed to bring a sheep and a bird, but if she's poor, then she brings two birds. A Masoda, if he's rich, brings three animals, and if he's poor, then he substitutes two of them for birds. But on the other hand, you never have a case where a person is obligated to bring an animal korban, and instead the Torah tells him that he can bring a mincha, only what's called bedalei dalus. The one case you have it is with a mincha tchoyta, where the person brings an animal, if he's a sheep, if he's rich, or two birds, if he's poorer, or a mincha, if he's the poorest. But there you have, the mincha doesn't really substitute for the animal. It's sort of like you have the bird substitute for the animal, and the mincha substitutes for the bird. There's no direct connection between a mincha and an animal korban. So therefore, you could argue, maybe therefore the Torah is saying you can't trade an animal korban for a mincha. Because it doesn't substitute for it when the person is poor. Maybe you are allowed to trade off a mincha for a bird korban, for a chapas ha'oif, which is eaten by kohenim. Because after all, there is a connection between them, because when you have, in the case of a choyte, in the case of a person who did tumas mitzvah shakadshav or whatever, if he can't afford birds, he brings a mincha. So therefore, there's a direct connection between the two of them. No, Talmud Leimar. Therefore, the pasuk also says, any mincha that's made that's fried in a deep frying pan, it still has to go to all the sons of Aaron, and it means not just the one that's made in a deep frying pan. The pasuk is mentioning in general that all the menachos, the pasuk in general is saying that the whole pasuk goes, you have two psukim back to back that go like this. Any mincha that's baked in an oven, or any one that's baked in a deep frying pan or a shallow frying pan, a machlas, it goes to the kohen who offered it, and then any mincha that's mixed with oil, or any mincha that's dry, should be divided among all the sons of Aaron equally. So we see that all menachas have to be divided equally among all the kohen. So that teaches us that you can't trade off a mincha for a bird. Not only that you can't trade off a mincha for an animal korban, where you could argue, fine, an animal korban and a mincha have nothing to do with each other, but not even a bird korban for a mincha. Okay. Yochol lo yachlus u'menachas k'neged oifus. Fine, continues the Braisa. Okay, you could argue maybe therefore you can't trade a mincha for a bird, because they're two different types of korban. The bird involves blood that goes on the mizbeach. The other, the mincha, involves flour that goes on the mizbeach. But you would think yachlaku oifus k'neged zvachin. Maybe you should be able to trade off a bird for an animal that one kohen, the kohenim can say. In other words, let's say somebody brings a chatas ha'oif, for example, because the dam goes both of them. The dam goes on the mizbeach. So no, but that's not the point. One second. The one's for poor, one's for rich. Yeah. But fine. That's not the point. We're gonna see how we know that not. But the point is, what would you want to do? You'd want to say like this. Look, you know, somebody just brought a chatas ha'oif. It's a tiny little thing. If we have to divide it up among the kol, the kohenim, and the mishmer, each person is gonna get, you know, a little shred of meat or something. So let's trade off. In other words, you guys can have this. You know, you five people, let's say, can share the bird, if it's enough, let's say, for five of you, and instead we'll take the next mincha that comes by. No, you can't do that. So how do you know you can't do that? Shalolo v'alolo minadomim, even though both birds and animal korbanos both involve blood going on the mizbeach. No, tamad langa v'almachlas l'chol b'nei arantia. Therefore, again, the pasuk continues that any mincha that's baked in that's fried in a shallow frying pan have to go to all the sons of Aaron equally. Meaning, we're not just talking about a mincha. It's one of these in lazet. You don't need it to teach us that every mincha that's baked, that's fried in a shallow frying pan has to go to all the kohenim, because we already know from the next pasuk that it says any mincha mixed with oil or any mincha that's dried. Therefore, if the pasuk is mentioning specifically the ones that are in one kind of pan or another kind of pan, we can use it to darshan that it means other types of karbanas complete. Since we don't need it to teach us about a certain kind of mincha, then instead we can apply it to a different type of karban. To a different type of carbon. That's a general concept that we have in many places in Shasta. Okay. But so far, what we said is you can't trade an animal carbon for a mincha. You can't trade a mincha for a bird. You can't trade a bird for an animal carbon. Next, yochel lo yachol.
You can't trade an animal carbon for a mincha. You cannot trade a mincha for an animal carbon.
What we said so far is like this. You can't trade between an animal and a mincha. You can't trade between a mincha and a bird. And you can't trade between an animal and a bird. You can't infer. No, you can't infer. Because again, you could argue animals and birds are similar in that they both involve blood.
One second. If you cannot exchange an animal for a mincha and a mincha for a bird...
No, that doesn't necessarily follow. It's not transitive like that. You could think that you could transfer an animal for a bird because they both involve dummy. Because they both involve dummy. You could argue that when there's a mincha involved, then you can. Okay, another case. Fine, so we can argue like this. Fine, you're not allowed to trade birds for animals, because there is, after all, a difference. Even though they both involve blood, but one, the malika, is done by hand, and the other one, the shlita, is done with a knife. You would think, though, that maybe the Kohenim can trade off one mincha for another mincha. Again, you have, let's say, two people bring a mincha, that they could say, instead of bothering to divide up each individual mincha among all the Kohenim who are on duty, and each one is only going to get a tiny bit, let's trade off, and you guys can take this one, and we'll take the next one. How do we know you can't do that? Even though both of them involve the hand of the Kohen taking smitha. Therefore, it says that any mincha mixed with oil goes to all the sons of Aaron. Continues the Braita, fine. So you would argue maybe what that pasuk means is, okay, so you can't trade off, for example, a mincha baked in a shallow pan and trade it for a mincha baked in a deep pan, or macheshes keneged machlas, or the other way around, because shezumaser kosher v'zumaser rakim. Because you could argue there's a difference in consistency. One's hard, one's soft, one's hard. As we learned before, you would think maybe that you could trade off one minchas machlas for another, and one minchas macheshes for another. Again, rather than bothering to split up each one individually, maybe you could say, you take this one, and I'll take the next one. So should I machlas from macheshes to macheshes? Therefore, the prophet says, any mincha, even if it's dry, has to go to all the sons of Aaron equally.
So
therefore, it means any mincha. Okay.
So one second. So why couldn't, if you say machlas and machlas, you could not exchange it. It still goes to the bnei Aaron equally.
No, that's the point. Exchanging it would mean that not every bnei Aaron who's on duty that day is getting an equal portion from each minchas machlas. What you have to have is, you have the person from the minchas machlas. It consists of an isor and a flour, let's say. So if you have it consists of an isor and a flour, which is a volume of 43 and then 1/5 eggs. So that means if you have 43 kohenim on duty, then once you take out the kohenets, then you have each kohen is going to get approximately an egg size of it. And if you have 100 kohenim on duty, then each one is going to get less than a half an egg size, etc. But it has to be that way. You can't say, well, you know what? Why should we bother splitting this tiny little mincha into 100 pieces? Let's better just split it into 40 pieces. And the next mincha that comes by, the next 40 kohenim can get parts of that. We don't do that. We can't do that. Every mincha has to be split up evenly among all the kohenim who are on duty that day. And the Rambam, by the way, points out in Hilchos Ma'aser Korbanos, the reason why the Torah divides the menachos into two different groups, where one group says that it goes to the kohen who offered it, and the other group says it goes to all the sons of Aaron equally, and both psukim mean, actually, that it goes to all the kohenim equally, because the first pasuk teaches us, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that it only goes to kohenim who are actually able to serve in the Beis Mikdash, as well as Baalei Mumin. The reason why this Torah divides them up, that Amram says, is because you might have thought to say that especially when it comes to a minchas aftorlos, which is plain flour, and afterwards it has to be baked in order for the kohenim to eat it. So you would think there maybe you have a right to trade off, because what? You're going to get a tiny little amount of flour? How are you going to do it? It can't really practically speaking, knead it and bake it and anything. You could think that maybe you're allowed to trade off. No, even then the Torah is stressing that it has to be divided up among all the kohanim. Yeah.
Equally.
Equally, yeah. You have, by the way, the Sfas-Emes wants to say that maybe they were allowed to voluntarily trade them off. He says that maybe the Gemara is talking about over here that one kohen can't require the other one to trade off, as you could as you could in similar cases of Hulin, a case called good or good. But with consent, he says maybe you could. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yochol lo yachlochu b'kodshei kodshim. Fine. He would say maybe what it means is you can't trade off when it comes to kodshei kodshim. So, for example, to trade off one chatas for another, or one osham for another, or one mincha for another. Avol yachlochu b'kodshim kalim. But maybe you would think maybe they're allowed to trade off in kodshim kalim. So far, we haven't had anything in the sukkim yet. No, yachlochu. Again, I mean, in other words, to say that, for example, somebody just offered a shlomim, let's say, hello, somebody just offered a shlomim, let's say, and there's a chaz of a shirk of it that are going to us kainim, and somebody else just offered another shlomim, which is also a chaz of a shirk. So each one has to be individually equally split. Right. So how do we know that? So the pasuk finishes off, but they have to divide it evenly. Each kohen like his brother, and then it continues, the imal toida. Then the next pasuk, the proof took him later, it continues, if the korban is brought as a toida, then, if the, menachas, not zach, if the korban is being brought as a toida, now the toida is kodshim kalim. Therefore, we learn from that, kashem she'en chok in the kodshim kodshim, just like we don't trade off kodshim kodshim, kach en chok in the kodshim kalim. So also, you can't trade off the pieces of kodshim kalim. And we learn it from the fact that it says ish ka'achav, and then it says ve'im al toida. Then the past two psukim later, it says that if a person brings a toida, so therefore we learn from the hekish, we learn from the continuation over there, that it means that the same rules apply to a toida, which is kodshim kalim. Because v'chol b'nei aron, we wouldn't know from that that mincha is kodshim kalim. The mincha is kodshim kalim. So we would only know this concept applies to kodshim kalim. You wouldn't know it applies to kodshim kalim if it weren't for the fact that the next thing the toida talks about is the toida. Then when it says ish, why does it use the expression ish ka'achiv? It means ish cholet vasilu balmum, means any adult kohen who's from that day's base of, or that week's mishma or whatever, is entitled to get a portion of the korbanus. The eight vasilu balmum, even if he's a balmum, because the Torah specifically says that he needs some kachim. The ain cotton cholet vasilu tam, but the word ish teaches us that a cotton does not get his own portion of a korban, even if he's tam, even if he's not a balmum.
So the son of a kohen
is a kohen, is not getting his own portion. If it's kodshim kalim, then the kohen is allowed to share it with his family. But kodshim kalim have to be eaten in the azara. So okay, maybe the child was allowed to go in there and eat it. But the point is, he doesn't get his own individual portion.
Any kohen who is not a balmum could eat kodshim kalim.
Any kohen who's a balmum can also eat kodshim kalim.
I could serve.
Yeah, well, as long as he doesn't have any of the others, pull them as well. He can't be Tommy, he can't be Oro, etc. Yeah. Okay. So the point of bringing this long braisa is that we were saying before that we're using the pasuk v'chol mincha b'lulav Hashem and b'chareva to teach us, according to Rav Shimon, that when it comes, that even a mincha that's made out of barley, you have, the shiraim of it is eaten by the kohen. But we just brought this whole long braisa that says that we use that pasuk to teach us a whole different thing. This concept that the kohenim can't trade off the korbanos for each other.
So what is it?
The answer is how he may call master. The answer is yes, but the whole limud that we just discussed in the braisa that you can't trade them off, that we're learning from the word kol. The rest of that process, mincha b'lulav Hashem and b'chareva, that goes to the kohenim, that we can use. Darshan according to Rav Shimon, that it means that even a mincha made out of barley is still divided up among the kohenim. The word kol. Yeah. So the question is, v'hapikdei l'chidr Rav Yosi b'Yehuda. The question still is, we use the word kol from that process for Rav Yosi b'Yehuda's din, where we learned at the end of the fifth parak that's where he learns the concept that you can't have a mincha that's partially, a baked mincha that's partially chalot and partially refitin, unlike Rav Shimon,
who says
that it could be 50-50. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda learns from the word kol that it cannot, so we need the word kol for that, Drasha. The answer is, Ela hahu mizichol. Okay, but the answer is, rather, that we're not learning, we have three things. From the vav of the word vichol, we're learning Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda's game. From the word kol, we're learning about not trading menachah. And from the rest of the pasuk, b'lulav b'shem and b'charev and l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh, that we're learning what we said that Reb Shimon needs it in order to teach us that a mincha made out of barley is eaten by the kohen. Now, Tosfos asked the obvious question, which is, who was Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda arguing with over there about the chalas and her kicking? Reb Shimon. So what do you mean, what do we need this drasha according to Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda? Reb Shimon disagrees with that, so therefore we can say, according to Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda, you need it for that, according to Reb Shimon, you need it for that. The answer is, Tosfos says, we want to have Let's say that we assume we don't know whether this long braisa that we just quoted, whether Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would agree with it. If he agrees with it, then what is he doing with it? What is he doing with the pasuk? That's the thing. So therefore, we can say that he does agree with this braisa that you can't trade off menachah to zvachim or what have you. But we're saying that he has available. He has the vav of the word v'chol, and he has the word kol itself. So therefore, we have two different drashas available.
Because
when? One teaches us that it can't be half chalas, half or kicking, right. And the other one teaches us that you can't trade off kovanah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's all. So all the kicking means thin wafers. A base mincha can become as either thick chalas or thin wafers. So we have, that's exactly what it sounds like. You take the flour and you bake it as matzahs, they can't be chametz, but either as thick ones, like our challahs, except they're not rising because they're just made thick to begin with. Or you can bake them as thin wafers. If they were baked as challahs, a tefach, I think. I think so, I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll learn about later, like mafanim later, anyway, yeah. So, okay. Fine. But all of that is one, so all of that so far, we have Chizkiah's explanation of where we know that according to Reb Shimon, that even a mincha of barley, that the kohenim eat the shirayim. Again, according to the chachamim, we don't need that. If the kohenim is taken, and we know from the psukim that it is, automatically the shirayim are eaten. Okay. Reb Shimon, who says that there's no connection between those two, needs a different thing. Ravina Omar, Ravina says I have a different answer, where Reb Shimon would learn it from. Ask him to Tony Levi. He can learn it. Reb Shimon can learn it on the basis of what Levi says. The Tony Levi, because Levi teaches a braisa as follows. You have a pasuk in Parshas Korach. In Parshas Korach, after all the events with Korach's rebellion and everything, at the end of Parshas Korach, Hashem summarizes all the 24 matnas kahuna. So to speak, the kahuna has been called into question. So now, so to speak, Hashem has said, I'm stressing again. Well, it was both. I mean, Korach was arguing that Aaron shouldn't be the Kohen God or whatever, so therefore Hashem
should be the Kohen
God. Maybe many people should be Kohen God and whatever. So now Hashem says, I'm re-strengthening the fact that the Kohenim are the ones chosen to serve Hashem, and I'm stressing all the matnas going on. Do you have a positive?
Korach
was a lady.
He
was a lady. Okay. So the pasuk says like this: L'chol korbanim. The pasuk mentions all of their korbanos, ulachol minchasim and all their menachos, ulachol chatasim, all their chatos, ulachol ashamim and all their ashamos. So what do we learn from these these phrases? Like this: Kol korbanim means l'rabbis loig shem and shom asurda. That comes to teach us that the lug of oil brought by asurda together with his korbanos is also what's left over of it after the sprinklings have done and after it's been put on his ear, thumb, and toe is given to the kohen. Now, why do we need a pasuk for that? Because, after all, the pasuk, earlier in that pasuk, it mentions that you, the kohenim, are entitled to anything from the fire. You would think maybe that only means the parts of korbanos where part of the korban is burnt in the fire. The kohenim get the rest. The lug shemen of the mitzvah, none of it goes in the fire. So you would think maybe, therefore, they don't get it. Kamash malon, that's why we need the word kol korbanim to teach us that the rest of that word goes to the kohen. Because it says min ha'esh. You would think it means only a korban where part of it is burnt in the fire. The kohenim are entitled to other parts. This one is not right. L'chol min chosam, when it says all of their menachos.
Everybody agrees with this?
Yeah. L'chol min chosam means the rabbis min chas ha'omer and min chas knos. The word l'chol min chosam comes to include also the omer and also the mincha of the sota. So there we go. That's where Shimon is going to learn, therefore, that the mincha of the omer and the mincha sota, after the kohenim is taken, that the kohenim eat the rest. Now, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that? Because otherwise you would think like this. Elsewhere in Parshas Tisabeh, the Torah tells us, V'ochlu oisim ha-shakupa v'hem omer achmana. The Torah tells us that the kohenim eat from the korban and the owner gets their kapara. So you would think, v'hai lahatir ka'asya. So you would think like this. The omer is not fundamentally brought as a kapara. It's brought in order to be matir chodesh, as we learned in the previous prayer. The idach nami and the minchas torah is also not really for kapara. Levare pa'achi is part of the process of determining whether the idach means the other one, meaning the minchas torah. Nami also levare pa'achi is coming to clarify: is she guilty or not? Yes. So therefore, so you would think that maybe the kohenim don't eat from them. Kamash malon. That is why the pasuk says l'chol minchasam to teach us that they do. Next, the l'chol hatasam. What is the word l'chol hatasam? The Chachamim would say that we don't need this pasuk for that. The Chachamim would say automatically.
Fine.
Because they said, again, once Kmitza is taken, automatically this. Okay, maybe they would also. Maybe according to Ravina, maybe they would also learn. Maybe they would also learn this limud. Because after all, the Torah doesn't explicitly say, yes, okay, maybe they would use this limud as well. Fine. Okay. Next, when it says l'chol chatasam, what does that mean? L'rabos chatas ha'oich. That comes to include also that the Kohenim eat the chatas ha'oich. Now, why do we need that? Offered out a chamin and nevelahi, because otherwise you would think, look, it's nevelah, it was killed by melissa, which is not a normal shchita. Kamash malon, that is why we need the pasuk l'chol chatasam to teach us that it is something given to the kohenim. Well, so one way of looking at it is it's a nevelah, but Hashem was master especially for the kohenim. The other way of looking at it is maybe it's not nevelah. We've had other previous gemaras that implied that yes, it really is nevelah. And for that reason, if a Yisroel were to eat it, he would be chayiv malchus for eating, not chayiv, but he'd be chayiv malchus for eating the vela. But a kohen is a special hetzer for him. Okay. What about l'chol ashkamam?
Well, he has to serve the Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah, it means a kohen was able to serve in the Beis Hamikdash or Balmum. Okay. L'chol ashkamam, when it says all of the ashkamas, that is l'rabis osham nazir v'osham mesorah. That comes to include also the osham brought by a nazir or by a mesorah. So the question is, why do we need a limud for both of those things? Osher Masurah, the Hedyek Sidbe. By the Osher Masurah, it says explicitly in the Torah, Ki Kachata to Osher Hula Koyin. Just as it is with the Chata, so this Osher goes to the Koyin. So we know already that it goes to the Koyin. What's the Chiddush? Elo Lurabis Osher Nazu Ki Osher Masurah. No, what the Braisa means is the word l'chol ashamam in Parshas Korach teaches us that the asham of the nazir is like the asham of the mesorah in that regard, and therefore that the kohenim eat the rest of it after what's offered on the mizbech. And why do we need that? Stop that, Hamina, because otherwise you would think l'hachshu ka'asi that the asham of a nazir is not really for kapara. It's only to be machshu him to be able to say that his nazirus is over and now he can drink wine, etc. If it's like a matter, or actually, strictly speaking, actually, the osham is brought by a nazir who became tamei. So it's not really that it makes him mutter to drink wine, etc. What it does is it makes him mutter to start his nazirus over again, where eventually he'll get to the point where he's able to drink wine and be metamala mason, etc. The point is, it's not really for kapara. Minimum nazirus for 30 days. Okay. So therefore, kamash malon. So therefore, that's why we need the word l'chol ashamam to teach us that even the asham of a nazir, which is not fundamentally for kapara, is still eaten by the kohen. Okay, what about the pasuk finishes, the braita finishes off, the pasuk continues, asher yashivu, the pasuk says that they return, or that they hand over, zeg gezel, again, in this pasuk in Parashat Korach, listing all the matnas Torah. So asher yashivu, zeg gezel ager. This comes to also include gezel ager. You have the case, which we learned about that way back in Bava Kama, that if a person stole from a ger, and then the ger died without yoshim, and the person wants to do tshuva, so he returns what he stole, plus a chomish to the kohenim, and he brings an osham. So the gezel ager is one of the 24 matnas kohona. So therefore, so
he's
kind of what? What do you mean, it's chayav? If he doesn't, then it's between him and Hashem. L'chahi ulvanecha. Then the pasuk continues that all of these things... What? The ger, we're talking about a ger who died without any heir. Yeah, he died childless. Yeah. Okay. L'chahu ulvanecha. The pasuk continues that all of these things are for you and for your sons, meaning shalchahi ulvanecha, meaning that these things belong to you, Kohenim, afilu l'kaddish v'yos isha, in the sense that you could actually l'kaddish a woman with them, which is usually in halacha, that's the active test. Does something belong to you? Are you able to use it for kiddushin? So Rashi learns that it means, Rashi, the regular Rashi over here, not Rashi Ksav Yad, says that means all of the things that we've listed so far. So the chatas, the osham, the mincha, etc. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know about that. No, you buy it with a credit card, but actually, if you owe the bank the money, but it's still your money. You borrow the money. Okay, I don't know. Let's not get into that right now. We're not dealing in tradition over here. The point is, Rashi learns that this Shokhahi Ulvanacha Filo Kaddish Baritesha is referring to everything that we've said so far, the Chakas, the Asham, the Minchad, etc. Tosfos discusses that and says not necessarily, it could be referring only to Gezel Agel. Okay, anyway, the point is... The point is, again, this Braisa, in the middle of this Braisa, we said that Minchol Minchosa means the Omer and the Mincha of the Soka. So there you go. There we see that there was Shraim of them go to the Kohenim, and that's where we get what we said in our Mishnah that they do that. Okay.
That's how we explain it.
Okay. Now we're going to start a new... The Chum maybe could also base themselves on this also. Now we're going to start a new topic, which is going to relate back to something we said in our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah that among the types of menachos that we said, from which a koimus is taken, and the koyin eat the shirayim, we said was minchas obi tichavim, a mincha brought by goyim. So now we're going to discuss that topic of goyim bringing korban. We talked about it in Vachin, but now we're going to talk about it. That's Amar of Hana, Shalmei ha'obi tichavim oilam. If a goy brings a korban, if a goy makes a neder to bring a korban shlomim, then it's offered as an ola, meaning it's considered an ola. If not, none of it is eaten. And similarly, Rashi says the same thing. If a goy were to bring a mincha, it would also be completely eaten. Now, one second. If it's a yid, when ola is completely burnt, a shlomim, the chaz of a shoyt is given to the kohenim, the chaylev is burnt on the mizbeach, and the owner eats the rest. Let's learn the Gemara and then hold off with the questions because many of them are going to be answered as we go through. Says Rav Huna, I can bring a pasuk to prove this concept, and I can also bring a svara to prove this concept. Let's start with the svara first. A guy doesn't really know what a korban is about. When he offers a korban, when he's menadev a korban, as far as he knows, it's going to be completely burnt to Hashem. So even if he called it a shlomim or whatever he called it, we have to assume that his intention is that it's going to be completely burnt. Goyim don't have the concept of that nis'ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it with, and that avodah can be accomplished by that avodah Hashem can be accomplished by us eating, koyim oichlam v'bailam miskafrim. As far as they know, the kapara is accomplished by the whole thing going up in smoke to Hashem. Well, therefore, that's what we have to do. The goyim think that, so therefore, yeah. Because we have to assume that that's what they think. They don't know the concept that you can eat a korban and that accomplishes kapara. Or I can bring you a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Asher yakrivu l'Hashem mo'olah." Because sometimes you have a pasuk and a svara. And like this also shows that even though it's not just a pasuk, it's also something that. Okay, but you also have sometimes, no, as a matter of fact, actually, here there can be a difference in, the Mephoshim points out, there can be a difference, let's learn the pasuk and then we'll talk about it. The pasuk starts off by saying, ish, which means both a goy and a Jew are able to offer korbanos, but it continues, asher yakrivu l'Hashem mo'olah, meaning call them mikrivi, whatever they offer, olah, it has to be an olah. So the Achronim talk about this nafkamina, there's a possible nafkamina between these two explanations. If you say that it's a pasuk, meaning it's a zeir sakasuv, what happens if the goy says explicitly, I've learned a little bit of your Torah, I understand there's a concept that a korban can be eaten, that they're eating by the koyanim, accomplishes the kapara, I want to bring to the korban. So if you say the pasuk, doesn't matter, the pasuk says, there's no going around that. If you say the svara, okay, well in this case, he knows, it's not zibur shamayim, he knows that there's a concept of eating it.
The point is, that's the thing.
If we say that you learn from the positive, then you have the positive. If we say that the primary thing is the svara, and we learn something else from the positive, then okay.
One second.
The point is we might learn something else from that positive. We might not be learning this concept from the positive. We might be learning some other concept from the positive. So therefore, in that case, the positive is not necessarily teaching us this din. We might only have the svara, and therefore, okay. Mosiv Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Okay, Rav Chama Bar Gurya says, I have a contradiction. We learn in a braisa, Ovid kechavim sheisnadev lahavi shlomim. If a goy makes a promise, volunteers to bring a shlomim, not on the Yisrael, so then it depends. If he gives them to Yisrael, Yisrael Oklam, and Yisrael can eat them. Meaning, because you can't give Kodshim to a goy to eat, so as Rashi Ksaviyad points out, so therefore only Yisrael can eat them. Not on the Koyan, and if he gives them to a Koyan, a Koyan Oklam, and the Koyan can eat them. So it sounds like, in other words, a Yisrael can eat Shlomim, yeah. But the point is, it sounds like it's still treated as a Shlomim, not as an Oyla. Yeah? Amar Rava Hachikam. Rava says, no, that's not what the Braitha means. It means like this. If the goy gave the korban al menashi skapa behen Yisrael, he gives the korban to a yid on condition that the yid will have his kapara with it. In other words, the goy says, for example, I know a certain yid who is obligated to bring a shlomim, because he made a neder to bring a shlomim. I'm going to volunteer it on his behalf. I'm going to give it to the Yisrael that he should be able to bring it at his korban. So then fine. Yisrael Oklam and the Yisrael eats it because the Yisrael effectively is the owner of it now. It's to all intents and purposes, the Yisrael. Yeah. Well, but it's that's enough for the purpose. Amanashi is Kappa Behem Koyan, and similarly, if the beneficiary was going to be a Koyan Oklam and the Koyan can eat it. But not that if the Goy was bringing it on his own behalf, that you should be able to eat it, that not. We would still go according to Rav Huna's thing, that we consider it an Oklam. Most of Rav Shizvi, so now Rav Shizvi says, and here's, well, right, but now we're going to bring from our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah, Eilu Menachas Nikmotis, the Shirei Makayanim, the following Menachas you take a Koinis from, and the rest of it is eaten by the Koinim, and one of the ones on the list is Minchas Ogi Kekhovim, Mincha brought by a Goy. Now, if you're going to tell me, like Rav Huna, that the whole thing is burned, what Shirei are being eaten by the Koinim? The answer is, Amar Rav Yechon, I'm like, Kasha, Harav Yechon, really Harav Akela. It's actually an achloikas tanoim. Rabbi Yosi Agluli versus Rabbi Akiva, whether a goy is able to bring a korban that's able to be eaten, or only oy. The tanya, as we learn in a braisa, like, ish. Now, when the pasuk starts off, in Parshas Emor, it describes the concept that a korban has to be tomim, that it can't be a balmum, and it starts by saying, ish, ish mi beis Yisrael, or mi nager bi Yisrael. So the word ish by itself would teach us that a person can bring a korban. Ish ish. What are we learning from the double expression ish ish? It means that goyim are able to give it, to make a neder and bring nedarim and nedarim just like Jews do. They're allowed to bring voluntary korban.
They're called ish.
They're called ish, yeah.
Usually
but,
cannot be called
ish. No, they can't be called odom. Asim krim odom, that's different. No, goyim can be called ish. But then when the pasuk continues, Asher yakrivu l'Hashem la'ola, the pasuk continues that they offer to Hashem as an ola. So, ainli ela ola. From that, if you only had those words, you would think that they can only bring an ola. Shlomim minayin. How do we know that they can also bring a shlomim? So there you go. You were asking before, what do? We have a pasuk. The answer is, we're going to have a proof that they're able to, according to Rabbi Yitzhak Levi, that they can also bring a shlomim. Shlomim minayin, tamad leiman, nidrei.
Look, if they can bring an oila, therefore they can bring the...
No, not this, though. According to Rav Huna, they couldn't. They could only bring an oila because everything they bring is treated as an oila. But now we're saying, the Braitha is saying, according to this part of the Koran to Rabbi Yitzhak Levi, how do we know they can also bring a shlomim, tamad leiman, nidreihem? Therefore, the Pasuk mentioned that they can bring nidreihem, what they make a neder. A shlomim can be brought for neder. What about toida minayin? How do we know a goy can also bring a toida? Talmud Lemon nidvoistam. Therefore, you have the possible nidvoistam, which means also another kind of korban that can be brought voluntarily, namely a toida. So they can't bring a chakras or an oshem, because those things can't be brought in. Nidreya means a goy, makes a neder. You have a little bit of discussion what exactly is the goy's obligation to fulfill his neder. Is it, it's not necessarily one of the shevnas of Menayach, but still, okay, you could argue maybe it doesn't mean he's required to, but if he wants to follow through with his neder, then he can. Okay. Yeah, we have a little bit of discussion about that.
How can you believe him? Maybe he has a mind his God.
No, if he's bringing it to our Beit HaMikdash, then and our Kohenim are offering it on his behalf. He's not going in. What about minayin l'rabbis ha'oifis v'hayayin v'alabon v'ayin? Continues the Braitha, how do we know that also a goy would be able to be menadev, would be able to be menadev birds as a korban, or as an oila that is, or because they can't bring a chakas, or wine, or labono, or wood, tamad leiman nidrehem l'chol nidrehem nidvoisam l'chol nidvoisam.
If he can bring shlamim.
Yeah, but how do we know that he can bring these things off? So therefore, it doesn't just say nidrehem and nidvoisam. It says l'chol nidrehem, and it doesn't say nidvoisam. It says l'chol nidvoisam, so that comes to include other things as well. So therefore, they're including wine and then levain or something.
The wine is not
No, we don't mean that he himself will bring wine from his house. We mean that he pays money and they bring...
Money.
Yeah. Okay. Im kein matamad loma ola. So why then does the Torah mention the word ola? It means ola praflim is zero. So it means to exclude is zero. A goy cannot bring korbanos of, a goy cannot, can bring a regular ola, but not an ola of nazir. Meaning, even if he were to say, I'm a nazir, the nazirus wouldn't be chal. And therefore he wouldn't be bringing the ola of it if he had.
Okay.
Right. That's what we're going to talk later on the Amud. We'll get to it tomorrow. But yeah. Okay. Zivir of Yitzhak. All that is according to Rabbi Yitzhak Zili, that a goy is able to be menadev many types of korbanos. Ola, shlomim, mincha, ola, shlomim, mincha, toida, well, you didn't mention mincha, but whatever. Toida, birds, wine, levoina, etim. Hey, Rabbi Akiva Omer. No, asher yachrivu l'ashem ola means only ela ola govad. It means only an ola, nothing else. So therefore, it's actually machlokas tanoim. What Rav Huna said at the beginning of the Amud, that any korban that a goy brought is offered as an ola, that would be according to Rabbi Akiva. That would be according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says all they can bring is ola.
Rabbi
Yitzhak Aglivi would say no, they can be bringing shlomim, they can be bringing koda. That was Rabbi Yitzhak Aglivi.
Yeah.
So, okay. Alright, so it's machlokas tanoim. Okay, so we'll continue with analyzing the machlokas and the discussing this tomorrow, Beth Hashem.